देवं तं सचानुरमर्दनं देवके परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम्। सो वी आर डिस्कसिंग द 9th चैप्टर ऑफ द भगवद गीता, इट इज कॉल्ड एज राज विद्या राज गुह्य। इट इज द किंग ऑफ द साइंसेस एंड इट इज ऑल्सो ए मोस्ट सीक्रेट। एज आई सेड, इट इज नॉट सीक्रेट बिकॉज इट इज कॉपी राइटेड, बट इट इज वेरी डिफिकल्ट टू अंडरस्टैंड अनलेस ए पर्सन इज एंडाउड विथ सर्टेन क्वालिफिकेशंस, इट इज नॉट पॉसिबल टू अंडरस्टैंड इट। It is called the king of the sciences because it goes directly to the heart of the matter. So what is it? It gives us knowledge about the reality. Now before we proceed, so we do not know the highest reality, but we can never live without reality. We can never live without reality. This is a point which we must always understand. We are always living in reality. We are never living in an unreality. We cannot live in unreality. Why? Because unreality simply is unreal. Yes. Unreality do not exist. The classic example given, unreality, is here goes the son of a barren woman. Here goes the son of a barren woman having taken bath in the refreshing cool waters of a mirage, having decorated himself with flowers grown in the sky, having taken a bow made out of the horns of a hare. You understand? The son of a barren woman, does he exist?
No.
The mirage exists. Flowers grow in the sky. Do the horns, the hare has any horns? This is a classic, beautiful example. So, unreality doesn't exist. Then what do we mean by our reality? So reality is divided into three categories: pratibhasika, vyavaharika and paramarthika. The lowest type of reality is that which is experienced but not real. We can understand it. The reality which we experience and is affected by it in a changing manner is the next category. And that which never changes is the highest category. Let me give you some examples. Do we see a mirage or not?
Yes.
Do we see a mirage?
Yes. Yes.
Waters? Do we see?
Yes.
Just because you are told it is a mirage, do you... immediately that scene disappears from your eyes? It doesn't. Do you see the reflection in the mirror? Do you see your reflection in the mirror?
Yes.
When you smile, what does it do?
Yes.
And when you frown, what does it do? It frowns back at you. So, does it have any existence, reality?
No.
That is the lowest type. Dreams, hallucinations, fantasies, reflections, mirage, this type of, it is experienced. Mind you, it is, you are not creating them. It is there. We all experience it. But we know that they have no life. So we don't depend. In the cinema, for example, you know, movies, you see a huge train rushing towards you with great speed. Would you get up from the seat and run away? You don't. Why? Because you know it is experienced but it is not real. So that belongs to the lowest category of reality. Pratibhasika, it is a reflection. It is just an experience, that's all. The second category is what we are doing now, right now. I am talking to you, you are listening to me, it is much more tangible. Much more tangible. So our whole life is centered in this. This is called Vyavaharika. Phenomenal reality. It's a reality. Then what is its nature? We experience it. We are affected by its results, but it is ever changing. The first one, it is experience, it doesn't affect us. The second one, it is experience, it affects us, but for a short time. The highest reality is called Trikala Abadhitam Satyam. That which is beyond time. That means that which is changeless. That which is changeless. Now, whenever we experience phenomenal reality, we experience two types of phenomenal as well as absolute reality at one and the same time. Let me give you this example. See, who are you? I am a baby. Who are you? I am a young man. Who are you? I am a middle-aged man. Who are you? I am an old man. Did we not say that? We are saying, I am a baby. I was a baby. I am a baby. I am an young man. I am a middle-aged man. I am an old man. On the one side, we are identifying with that which is constantly changing. But at the same time, this concept of I, it has not broken. The body has changed. Change means what? The old is dead, the new is in. But this I, there is no change. Have you noticed? Mm-hmm. Why do we say that? Logically, I am trying to explain to you logically. Why? Because if I am also changing, who is the witness of the change? If I am changed from last minute to this minute, then I would not have any memory of what I was in the past. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. All right, let me put it with an example like this. Supposing you are queuing up for something, maybe buying a ticket or whatever it is. You are queuing up. And you are also one of the crowd, and you are following the crowd slowly, slowly. If I were to ask you, how many people have been queuing to buy this ticket or whatever, will you be able to tell me? You won't be able to tell me because you are part of the changing scenario. But if you sit outside the crowd and go on counting, this is one, this is second, this is third, then you will be able to give me an accurate picture of how many people were queuing. You see? So to know something is changing, there must be an unchanging witness. Aside from that. Do you get the point? So there is an I which never changes. And there is an I which always changes. The I that doesn't change is called the subject. And the I which changes is called the object. The I which says I am unchanging is the knower. The I which says I am the known. We use this word very commonly. I know myself. I know myself. So who is that I which is knowing? And who is that I which is known? Can you tell me? The knower I is the subject, unchanging subject.
Yes.
But who is it that you are knowing? I know myself. The changing. Yesterday I was there. Today I am here. Tomorrow I will be somewhere else. You see? Two eyes are constantly they are present with every experience. The unchanging I and the changing I. It may be my body, it may be my mind, it may be an outside object, it doesn't matter. Object is different, subject is different. So, we know this reality. Pratibhasika, that's a reality, lowest type. And phenomenal, that is also a reality, much more stable. What is the difference? The Pratibhasika can never affect us profoundly. But paradoxically, that is what affects us also profoundly in a funny way. If had the mirror been destroyed, had there been no mirror in this world, the whole cosmetic industry would have ground to a halt. It is the mirror which makes the cosmetic people very rich. Yes, that is the fact. If we don't know what we are looking like, who is bothered about it? This is the truth. So, that reality which is unchanging, if we don't know, we are in trouble. So that is why this world is called changing reality. It is not unreal. It is changing. Changing reality by its very nature must be limited reality. You see, sukha, you are happy. Does it change or will it go on? So what does it change into?
Dukkha.
And dukkha, will it go on forever?
No.
What does it change into?
Sukha.
Therefore, sukha is limited by dukkha. Dukkha is limited by sukha. I am limited by you. You are limited by me. This moment is limited by the past moment and by the future moment. And the past is limited by the future and present moments, and the future is limited by the past and present moments. You see, that is why present is the greatest gift. Yeah, that is, it's the greatest gift. Once you don't accept it, then you lose it forever. But no fear, because every moment is a new gift, a new gift, a new gift, a new day. What a wonderful thing. Constantly we are getting this gift from God. What a marvelous thing. Okay. So, what is the quest about? What are we searching for? We are searching for permanency in everything. And when something is permanent, it can only be bliss. It cannot be. See, you can't think, permanently I would be happy. Permanently I would be unhappy. You cannot think. Permanently I would be in bliss. So what is the difference between is a temporary happiness and permanent bliss? We use the word ananda. We use sukha. We use joy, pleasure, happiness, joy. But a specific word is used. What is that? Ananda. What is the difference between this happiness, joy, pleasure on the one side and ananda on the other side? Have you ever thought about it? What is the difference?
It's emotional and so it comes down.
No, not merely emotional.
Changing.
Sukha or happiness has its counterpart, unhappiness. Pleasure has its opposite, pain. Joy has got its opposite, suffering, sorrow. Why? You know why? You can say, can we not do without the opposite? No, you cannot do, because to recognize this is pleasure, pain is the payment we make for recognizing pleasure is opposite of pain. Just like, you know, this story told, a fish from a river fell into the sea. What a marvelous place this, your sea. It met a fish from the sea and said, exclaimed, "Ah, what a marvelous place you are living in this sea." The fish said, "Yes, yes, this is a marvelous place, but what is this word sea? What does it mean?" Well, this is wonderful place. Yes, this is water. What is the meaning of sea? The sea fish is asking. Because it never saw something smaller. It doesn't know what is called sea. If the whole day the sun is shining, then how will you know it is daytime? Yeah. That is why our Bengali devotees are very good. So before feeding you sweets, they will feed you bitter things. It is called shukta. So after eating bitter things, you will enjoy even the worst sweet also will taste much better once you have experienced bitter things. Okay. So, what is ananda?
Happiness.
Ananda doesn't have a counterpart. There is no counterpart. It is pure single experience. Why? Because there is no duality. That's why when we are in the state of deep sleep, you are not aware of anything else, neither God nor the world. Therefore, that experience is the most cherished experience that makes the mind very calm and quiet. Supposing you are unhappy, it affects your blood pressure and kidneys and everything. And suppose you are unhappy or happy. Happy. Suppose you are happy. Will it affect you? People can die of
happiness.
You know, even hearing the news of, you know, happiness, people can die. You know, Linda? There was a man, he had cardiac problem. So he was admitted in a hospital. And there was the cardiac doctor, very nice doctor, he treated. And the man was very nicely recovering. Now this man, patient, was in the habit of buying lottery tickets for so many years. So, after he had this heart attack, his sons found out that he won $1 million. Now, they are afraid to convey the news to him, because the recovering man may die. So they thought, but the news had to be conveyed. The money had to be claimed within certain time. So they went to the doctor and said, this is our problem. You solve the problem. So the doctor said, don't worry, I will take care of it. So he sat down, Bill, how are we doing? Oh, we are doing fine. Like this he talked. And then he asked, supposing Bill, you hear the news that you won $1 million in lottery, what will you do? He said, why doctor, you did so good, so much good to me, I will give you 50% of it. Hearing that, the doctor had a heart attack. Seriously, if suppose you are in the habit of meditating, and you get some so-called good news, can you concentrate on God? You cannot. Suppose just before sleeping, you get some good news. Can you sleep? For a long time, sleep can elude us. Is it not a fact? Why? Because it affects us emotionally. Whereas ananda, bliss, there is nothing to be affected because we are in that state which is beyond body and
mind.
There is no emotion at all working there. No mind is there. That is why it gives perfect peace. It doesn't know its opposite. If something is there which doesn't know its opposite, how are you going to describe it? That is why when we wake up from a very, very deep sleep, then we say, I did not know anything. I slept very happily. But at the same time, that's a state of experience because we have that memory. But we are unable to describe because description requires at least there must be something else besides what we are describing. Do you see the point? Suppose there is one book. You say, bring the book. Will you have any problem in bringing the book? now. But suppose there are two books. If I ask you, bring the book, what would be your question?
Which
book do you want me to bring? The moment there are two, you have to describe what exactly you want. So the highest reality doesn't know what is called its opposite, that is what is called Advaita. Non-duality means there is nothing besides it. And that is the key to self-knowledge. We are every day, we are experiencing it. That, and we are addicted to it. If we don't experience it, our day will not go on properly. If you see good sleep, what is good sleep? What is good sleep? A sleep where we go beyond both the body. Even you may have good dreams, but they also disturb you.
Yeah.
But that sleep where there are no dreams, no thoughts, no imaginations, no mind, that is called Sushupti or deep sleep, and that is a state akin to non-duality. And that is what sustains us. That is what sustains every living creature in this world. And that is more or less just an experience where we know a glimpse into the highest reality. But one problem. So sometimes this question comes, what is the difference between deep sleep and samadhi? You understand samadhi? Deep sleep and samadhi. Deep sleep is samadhi, but without our being conscious and having control over it. Whereas samadhi is deep sleep with full consciousness and with full control. This is the simple truth. Consciously, we know what we are experiencing. But that doesn't mean you can describe it. No, you can't describe it. The effect is the same. You can't describe neither deep sleep, neither can you describe samadhi. But what is the difference between these two? Swami Vivekananda was once asked, what is the difference between deep sleep and samadhi? He said, if a fool goes into deep sleep and wakes up, he remains either the same fool or even more of a fool. Yeah. But if a fool goes into samadhi, he will come out an enlightened person, because consciously now he knows this is the reality. And what happens to him? When he finds that reality, then he gets the clue. What is waking state? It is the same reality. What is the dream state? That is the same reality. So, dream, waking state, dream state, dreamless state. All the three are nothing but varying expressions of that one unchanging reality. Then there is no problem. How is it there is no problem? What is the big deal of difference it makes? So with this respect, we have to understand what is reality, first of all. What's reality? I described three kinds of realities, but what is reality? That which affects us is reality. So suppose you are watching a movie, and a hungry tiger runs towards you. You are seeing it. How does it affect you? Doesn't affect you. That is affecting you. What is the effect? It doesn't affect you. That is the effect. Yes?
Yeah.
Do you see the point? You see a lump of gold there. Do you see it? But you don't go to grab it. Why? Because even though you are seeing it, it doesn't make you enough, it doesn't make you work to grab that, because you know that it is unreal. So, come back to the phenomenal reality. This is the phenomenal reality. This affects us profoundly, but only again temporarily. Because if you have headache, how long will it last? How long a headache will last?
Sometimes 1 day.
Yes.
24 hours.
You see, That is, it affects us temporarily for a short time, and again it goes away, and then we forget about it. Then until we get headache, we don't seem to remember that we have a head. Until toothache comes, we don't seem to remember that we have got teeth. Until we become Vedantins, we don't seem to remember what valuable things we had and we lost. So, because this is a changing reality, the effect of the changing reality is also profound. So we mourn the loss of something. You see that? But if we know the highest reality, because it is an unchanging reality, then what happens? We never again regret. We are always in that highest state of bliss. Why? Because reality, first of all, is one. The highest absolute reality, how many? One. Whereas in the phenomenal world, how many realities? Any number of realities. You are, as many as you are all real to me. If I am friendly with one, doesn't mean I am friendly with all of you. If I am happy with one of you, doesn't mean I am happy with all of you. See? If I want to be friendly and happy with all of you, I have to deal with all of you separately. Do I have the time? And that makes the regret. That brings on regret, because my desire for happiness is unquenchable, infinite. I want as much as happiness, but I am limited because your reality is different. The other person's reality is different. Not only that. If you are my reality, I am also your reality. I may like you, but that doesn't guarantee that you will like me. See, that is the problem. A is running after B, B is running after C, C is running after A. When are they going to catch up? The famous triangular, puzzle. This is what is happening. But if it is unchanging reality, what is that? One reality. Once we have that understanding, you come down to this phenomenal world, then what is you? You are the same reality. 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 Let me explain this briefly before we proceed. Take the example of clay or wood. Out of wood, 100 objects are made. Because 100 objects are made, we give 100 different names. This is a table, this is a chair, this is a door, this is a window, this is a staircase, etc., etc., etc. So when I divide like that, 100 names, 100 forms and 100 names, then each one is a separate reality. Why do I say each one is a separate reality? Supposing there is a plate made out of wood. There is a spoon made out of wood. So, the spoon wood is a reality and the plate wood is also a separate reality. Then, I can't use the plate for a spoon. I can't use the spoon for a plate. You see, that is what I mean by reality. Therefore, everything has got a particular function. It will never serve the function of the other one. Whereas, if I am focusing on the wood, if I want wood, then supposing I want to, it is cold, I want to become warm. Will the spoon, wood spoon serve the purpose? Yes. Would the plate, wood plate serve the purpose? Yes. If the chair would serve the purpose? Yes. Because I am not focusing on the, whether it is a spoon or plate or chair. What am I focusing upon? Wood. What is the benefit of this? What is the benefit? So, you are, one person is absent. It doesn't trouble me. Because I am focusing on the reality. I am not focusing on name and fame. Therefore, the other person is there. If this person is not there, that person is there. If that person is not there, the other person is there. If that other person is not there, something else is there. So long as this whole universe is made up of one reality, then there is no problem at all. And there is no death. There is no birth. These are merely expressions. What a marvelous thing it is. Trying to highest reality, that is why Shankara has written on Bhashya. It is called Ghata Bhashya. Ghata means what? So the argument, briefly it goes like this. No, here is pot. Here is a picture. Here is a book. Here is a pot. Here is a picture. Here is a book. The pot is destroyed. What do we say? Pot is destroyed. That means gone out of existence. But the book is there. The picture is there. So Shankara says, why are you worried? After all, existence is, what is the pot? Pot is nothing but manifestation of existence in the form of name and form. So if that is destroyed, where does it go? It only goes back to its existential form, not manifested form. When you crush the sand casual, where does the casual disappear? Into the sand. But it is the existence of sand is not destroyed. You can make again. So, unable to understand this simple argument, if this person is dead, say, no, he is not dead. He has gone back to its unmanifested form. Existence, form of existence, merely. Do you follow what I am trying to talk about? The highest reality focuses on the manifestation or experience of one reality. What is that one reality? See, here 100 things are made out of wood. So this table is different, the chair is different, the plate is different, the spoon is different. But what is it as one? All the objects, what is the common factor?
Wood.
If you are aware of the wood and not the name and form, then would you, supposing somebody squashes the chair, where does that wood go? The name and form is destroyed. The wood part of the chair will always remain, is it not? So if we can realize the highest reality, that is the contention of the Shankara and other Advaita, there is only one reality. Very soon I come back to this, from this Gita. So what are we focusing it now? Where are we focusing? On the? This pot is gone. That means pot is destroyed. Destruction means what? We equate destruction with non-existence. What do the physicists say? Do they say that matter can be destroyed? One form has gone back to the state of matter. That's all. Nothing else. Take a putty. Children play with putty. They make a horse. Then they squash it. What is destroyed? The horse. But is the putty destroyed? No. He can make any number of times horses. He will be very happy to do it. And that's what the reality is. God is making all these forms and again he is squashing the forms. This is called Srishti, Sthiti and Laya. What is it? Constant recycling. That is why God is the greatest recycler on earth. Yeah. One grandma, suddenly she became a Hindu, Christian grandma. And she stopped eating beef. Stopped eating what? Beef. She was asked, why did you stop, grandma? You loved beef steaks. He said, how can I eat? Her grandson had died. So he was buried. And what does he become? Grass. And that grass is eaten by whom? The cow. And if the cow is eaten by her, whom is she eating? what a logic. The whole thing is being recycled, is it not? Our bodies are entering into, you see, the bacteria eats your part of your body. That is the symbiotic relationship we have with the bacteria. You eat the bacteria and bacteria also digests your food and other things, breaks them down, and as commission, part of it, it eats. So, when it eats you, or a mosquito drinks your blood, and incidentally, if a mosquito has come to drink your blood, don't drive it away. You are doing the greatest service to the Divine Mother. According to Hinduism, you know, to help a pregnant woman in any way, the greatest merit. And a female pregnant female mosquito only drinks your blood. So you are unconsciously, even without you are doing anything, it is conferring on you the greatest merit. So don't lose this opportunity of accumulating greatest merit. Everything is recycled. That is the greatest truth. The whole world, morning we discussed, is food, annam. I eat you, you eat me. Is it? Are you following what I am talking about?
Yes, Maharaj.
What others leave, we eat it as food. What we give up, others use that as food. What is your fertilizer? See? Yeah. What are you eating when you are in first class? Sag and leafy vegetable. Gongora. What are you eating? Cow dung. It's produced out of cow dung transformed. No, there's nothing wrong in it. Because everything only changes name and form. This is the greatest thing. So if everything is being recycled, that means there is a unity. What is that unity? It is the same, because two separate things can never mix together. Two separate things can never become one. You cannot make them. This is a point which we do not seem to understand. Let me give an illustration. Water. Water is a pure water. You cannot mix excepting water. Water mixes with water. You cannot mix anything with water. Supposing you happen to mix salt. What does that water become?
Salt.
Salt water. Does it mean that the salt water is a special entity, or is it a mixture of two? What is it?
Mixture.
Mixture. How do you know? Because there is a method by which you can separate these two. Can't you?
Yeah.
Unclean water, dirty water, muddy water. You can separate water from the mud. Do you see the point? What does it mean? It means even though it appears to be one, they ever remain separate. Each one has its own reality. You can never mix. If you follow this logic, then if the highest truth is Brahman, then and that is the only reality, with what are you going to mix? Is there anything besides Brahman?
No.
Therefore, there is nothing with which you can contaminate it. That is called Advaita, non-duality. Since it cannot be mixed with anything, but we are seeing so many types of realities, what does that mean? That means it is only manifestation, the differentiation is only name and form, just like 100 things are made out of wood, but in reality what are they? They are nothing but wood only. So the whole universe is made up of one element only, one reality only. What is that reality? Brahman. And what is the characteristic of this Brahman?
Consciousness.
Consciousness. That is the ultimate solution. Brahman manifesting as consciousness. When are you aware of this table? When does the table come into existence? Only when you are aware of it. When you are not aware of it, what happens to it? So this is simple truth. Either you are not aware of it, or it makes itself absent by getting burnt or whatever. Then what happens? That thing, so far as you are concerned, doesn't exist. So existence and non-existence are dependent upon what?
My awareness. Consciousness.
Having understood this much, one more step. What is that? Is the table, is it different from your consciousness? Or is it your consciousness takes that particular form?
We
don't see that is Maya, but actually
it is the latter.
The whole universe is nothing but manifestation of pure consciousness. If you want to understand this point, look at the cinema projector. From the projector, light falls on the screen. Before the film starts, what do you see? Screen. Pure white screen. Omnimax theater. What do you see? The whole screen. Only screen. White screen. Nothing else. Then the film starts. Then what do you see? The screen disappears. Then what do you see? Hundreds and thousands of figures. Now tell me, are all these figures made out of what? What are they? Is nothing but pure light. Is there any object there? Is the film going and sticking itself there? So the light passing through the film, somewhere it is bright, somewhere it is dark, this infinite variation of light is what is called a dog, a man, a tree, a burning house, a running car, a flying aeroplane. Do you see the point? Whatever figure you see on the screen, what is it? Nothing but
light.
But you see how real they look? You react. But if it is pure white thing, do you react?
No.
What reaction is there? Because you don't see. But the moment it turns out into one form, a man starts running after it. And the moment that figure takes another form, then he starts running away from it. It's nothing but the same light. What a marvelous thing it is. Do you see the magic? That is why cinema is a magic. So what is the point? It is from pure consciousness this whole universe exists. It comes into birth, it is sustained, and it also dissolves back into what? Into pure consciousness. To understand this point a little more clearly, I am giving this illustration. I always give it. When you go to sleep, you have a dream. And in the dream, you see various things. Suppose, you know, you slip down. In the dream, you are walking a slippery path. And suddenly, your foot slips. And then, dharam, you come down. Does it hurt you or not? Does it hurt you or not?
No.
It won't hurt?
Yes.
In the dream, don't you? In the dream, it hurts you. Yeah. And then you wake up. And when you wake up, you laugh at yourself. So now, that was that concrete slippery path, was it existing? What is it? Who made it? You made it. Did you not? Am I responsible for your slipping there? No. So you created it. You created it out of what? Your thoughts. But there is an important element there. That is the comparison, analogy. What is the element? Consciousness is the light. Thought is the film. You see, when if there is a thought but there is no consciousness, will you be aware of that thought? When there is no thought, there is only pure consciousness. When there is a thought, then that consciousness takes the form of that particular thought, isn't it? That thought appears as a man, as a woman, as a tree, as a dog, as a tiger, as friend, as enemy, is it not? See, what a marvelous analysis is this. If that is true, in your dream, the whole world is created by your consciousness plus thoughts. Then when you go to the deep sleep state, what remains? The pure consciousness is there, but the thoughts are not intervening. It is like a pure white screen. What will you describe? What did you see? I saw a screen. That's all. You can't say anything because there is no figure there. But the moment you come back into dream and waking, again the same. How do you know that this waking state is also not a creation of our own mind? In fact, that is the truth. What is outside, we don't know. But according to Vedanta, we say it is Brahman. Brahman means what? Pure consciousness. But it is our thought recognition through the eyes. When you look at Brahman through the eye, how does the light appear? As rupa, form. When you experience Brahman through the ears, how does it appear? Sounds. When you experience through the nose?
Smell.
See the point. That is, we call it prapancha. If there were to be no sense organs, tell me, what prapancha will you experience? So is there any state when you are bereft of all these five sense organs?
Deep sleep.
Deep sleep. You don't have sense, you have gone beyond the identification with both the mind and body, and therefore you can't see any world. You only see pure consciousness alone. Every day we are doing that. So that is what the Lord is trying to tell us. Let me read now. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matsthani sarva bhutani nachaham teshvavasthitah. All this world is pervaded by me in my unmanifested form. All beings exist in me, but I do not dwell in them. You say, these verses I heard are very difficult to understand by so many people. Of course, if you haven't read them, the problem never arises. So he says, first of all, this whole world is pervaded by me. In English language, what do you mean by pervaded? Pervaded means what?
Spread
out or whatever you call it. But really speaking, what does it mean? It means, say, God is everywhere. We say God is everywhere. Is he in this table? So, where is he in the table? Where is he in the table?
It's manifestation.
In the wood.
Somehow God is there, but somehow this table is separate from God. Somehow he is there. That is called duality. Now, to understand this properly, the another illustration would be better. In the Arctic oceans, you see huge ice floes. You see? And you ask anybody, what is that below? That is water. What is floating on it? Ice is floating in it. They appear to be. So where is not water? Is the water in the water?
Yes.
Is the water in the ice?
Yes.
Yes. Where is it? In fact, is there anything called non-water in that ice flow? What is the whole ice?
Water.
It is nothing but water in with name and water with a particular name and form and name is called eyes. So now is water pervading throughout the eyes?
Yes.
When it is not pervading, you call it water. When it is pervading, what do you call it?
Eyes.
Eyes. See, what a wonderful thing it is. So, what are we? What is this whole universe? It is nothing but, see, a table. So, in the table, is wood pervading or not? Wood pervading or not? So, this table is nothing but only wood. There is no other object there of which you can say there is something, but it is pervaded by wood. Excepting wood, there is absolutely nothing. Is it a fact? Then what is it? Why do we call it table? Because a table is only wood in a particular form and a particular name to distinguish it from another manifestation of wood, say a chair or a staircase, etc. Is it? See the point now? That means what is the Lord saying? That I pervade this whole universe. Again, going back to that illustration of dream, when in your dream you create your dream world, everything in this, whatever you see in the dream, is the dream world. That dream world is pervaded by whom? By your own consciousness. Because without consciousness, nothing will appear. So, part of the consciousness appears to be pervader. Part of the consciousness appears to be the pervaded in the form of name and form. Just like part of the water is remains water, and part of the water takes the shape of an iceberg or whatever you call it. But basically the whole thing is nothing but, what a marvelous thing if you can understand that. So what is the, all this world is pervaded by me in my unmanifested form as wood. But as with name and form, all beings exist in me. But he says, I do not dwell in them. What do you mean? What does that statement mean? I do not dwell in them. I am pervading. If he is pervading, what do you mean? What does he mean by saying, I do not dwell in them? That means what? He says, I am not affected by them. Because the name and form come and go. But that which pervades the name and form, there is no question of. So, in the table, when did the wood come into the table?
It's always there.
So, when is the wood going out of the table? Is there any time?
No.
Is there no time? In that sense, the wood is not the table. Wood is only wood. But that the table, the name and form can come and go. So you cannot equate pure consciousness with name and form, even though name and form have no existence apart from the pure consciousness. That's what he is meaning here. Then even more, nacha mastani bhutani pashyame yoga maishwaram bhutabhrunnacha bhutastho mamatma bhutabhavanaha. Nor do beings exist in me in reality. Behold my divine yoga, my divine maya, bringing forth and supporting the beings. Myself does not dwell in them. Neither the beings dwell in me, nor I dwell in them. What is that statement again? Mysterious statement. What does it mean? First he says that all I pervade all beings. Then he says, I do not dwell in them, nor do they dwell in me. What is he referring to? He is referring to in this particular way. That you see, when you are dreaming and you created the whole dream world, where does all this dream world exist in you? Exist. Where does it exist? In you. In your consciousness. It is because of your consciousness it comes into existence.
Yeah.
See? So, you are without you, they can't exist. And yet, you are not affected by them. Because they are affected by you. You create them and you destroy them. But they don't create, they don't destroy. If I close my eyes, all of you have disappeared. If I open my eyes, all of you come. So you depend upon me. I can make you vanish like this. And all of you do exactly the same thing with me also. You know, you are hearing nicely, deep philosophical thought. Suddenly, not only me, the whole world has disappeared from you. What a magical power you possess. You made the whole world disappear. And after some time, suddenly you hear everybody laughing and you come back to them. And the whole world comes back. What power? You know, you are creating and you are destroying. When you choose, you are creating. When you choose, you are destroying it. So that's what we do. The whole dream world. We see, you want to some nightmarish dream. You are suffering. So what do? Why should I suffer? So how do you escape that suffering? Am I taking a foreign language? You are dreaming. You have a nightmare. So you are suffering. Nightmare means what? Suffering. Suffering. You are frightened. You are suffering. So you want to get out of it. What is the remedy? See? It is in your control. All that you need to do is just wake up. The entire dream world is destroyed forever. You have no nightmares. Now you didn't solve the nightmare problem. You dissolved the whole nightmare problem. You didn't solve the problem. You dissolve. That is what exactly we are doing in the waking state also. Every day. When you go to dream, what are you doing?
Dissolving
the waking state. You see, you are in a prison. Imagine, you are in the prison. It is a very unhappy place. And it is a problem. How do you dissolve that problem? Go to sleep. Dream that you are in a 7-story palace with a Rajkumar. And you are completely, you destroyed the whole, you didn't solve the problem. You dissolved the problem. You can't dissolve the problem in the waking state. As long as waking state is there, you can only solve the problem. As long as you are in the dream state also, you can only solve the problem, not dissolve. But by coming out of that state, you dissolve. That is why it is called pralaya. Yeah, what a beautiful thought. So, this is, the Lord is telling, see my divine yoga. Yogam Aishwaram. What is it? One moment I create the whole world. Who creates? Me. So who is in charge? Me. And I am not in them. Next moment he says, they are not in me. How can they not be in you when you created? When he changes that state, when you wake up, your whole dream world is not there. When you go into dream, the whole waking state is not there. When you go into deep sleep state, both the waking state and the dream state also dissolve until you are in that, as long as you are in the deep sleep. Is it not a truth? Every day we are experiencing. We are not talking about imaginary philosophical truths. This is what we are doing. Otherwise life becomes, you know, intolerable. If the wife and husband had to look at each other's face 24 hours a day, imagine, just imagine what a nightmare it is. That is why, you know, the happy secret of a happy marriage, we do exactly the same things. Did he tell you?
No.
Somebody was asked, what is the secret of your happy marriage? The man said, me and my wife, we love each other. We do exactly the same things. We go to India. I go from January to June. She goes from July to December. That is the secret of our happy marriage. Yeah, just imagine, anything gets on our nerves, if we have to deal with it 24 hours a day. Why does it get on our nerves? Because anything that is changeable is unreliable. Anything that is unreliable, it creates insecurity. There is only one thing which can give us. If you worship God, then it is the same God. God means that which is beyond time, space, causation. Understand it clearly. You went to the temple last year, you went to the temple this year, you will go to the temple next year. How old was God last year? How old will be he this year? And how old he will be next year? See, that means he is beyond time. Say you go to India and you go to another temple. Do you feel that this God is different from that God? It's exactly same God. Therefore he transcends space. What is the last one?
Causation.
What is causation? Say you are good here. So will he change his idea about you because you have been happy? So next day you are unhappy. One day you are happy, so he is happy. Next day you are unhappy. Will he be unhappy? His outlook upon you would be, whatever you be, his outlook on you will be exactly the same. Why? Because he is not looking at your body, he is not looking at your mind, he is looking at that unchanging nature of yours all the time. What is that unchanging nature called? God. So he is looking at you in what way? As himself. Therefore the question of his mood change doesn't arise. Yes, we are moody. Sanskrit and English very closely related. Yes. That's why he said samsaro. Samsaro. Close. It is both Sanskrit and English. Moody. Moodaha. One who is subject to moods is called moodaha. Moodha means
stupid.
Yes, stupid, foolish, and whatever you can call it. Yeah, we are all moody people. Whereas God is not a subject to moods, because he doesn't change. He loves you because loving is his nature. This is illustrated in a very graphical way in some of our Sanskrit statements. A fragrant flower tree will not stop giving fragrance because a good man approaches or a bad man approaches. Equally, whoever goes, he will get exactly the same fragrance. The sun doesn't stop shining because some place is dirty and some place is clean. His light falls on every spot equally without discrimination. That is why God is beyond time, beyond space, and beyond causation. That is the only unchanging element. Everything else other than God is called non-self. Non-self doesn't mean non-existence. Non-self means changing self. We identify ourselves with the waking state, with the dream state, and with the deep sleep state. That is a change. Even if we don't change otherwise, always we are changing. That is why we can't put up with something which is unreliable. I think you are a good person. But goodness also changes according to circumstances, time, causation, manifestation differs. So then immediately I get disturbed. That's why it is hard to put up with the same thing. Only God we can put up. Anyway, what is the subject? The Lord says, without me, this creation cannot happen. So all beings live in whom? In Him. But at the same time He says, no beings live in Him, neither He lives in them. That means, what is He telling? The relationship, the dualistic relationship He is destroying. So as long as creation is there, what is the relationship between God and the creation? God is the unmanifested form and this world is His manifested form. There is a relationship. What is it? I and you. Subject, object. Knower, the known. The witness, the event that is happening. Both are related. If the known is removed, the knower also will get removed. If the object is removed, the subject also becomes removed. If the event is removed, the witness also is removed. See the point? This is what happens in waking state, in dream state. This, because of His consciousness, we become aware of this world. And when we go into the deep sleep state, then what happens to all these beings? It is not there. Absolutely, it is not there. So since it is not there, what is the relationship between the Creator and the Creator?
Something.
Creator and created.
There is no creation.
So. There is no creation at all. So there is no relationship at all. Neither He is there, nor neither the Creator is there, nor the created is there. These are all, that is called duality, means this relationship. Relationship means change. Change means uncertainty. Uncertainty means unhappiness. That's what we want to avoid. We want permanent happiness, permanency. How can you be in some sorrow and at the same time be, you know, some joy? Some sorrow means constantly it is some sorrow. So, is that point understood here? The Lord is the root cause of this whole universe. That is, He says, I pervade, just as wood pervades all the objects made out of wood, He pervades. Right?
Yeah.
So, where is the table dwelling in?
Wood.
The Lord. In the wood. In that sense. This whole creation. Then again He says, that they are not in me, I am not in them. What does it mean? When the table is destroyed, nama and rupa is, then what is the relationship between the wood and the table then? There is no relationship at all. So, when there is a pure existence, there is no Lord, there is no creation. He is not in them because He is not there. They are not in Him because they are not there. But as soon as creation comes, He is there in the form of unmanifested consciousness, and they are there in the form of manifested consciousness. You have to meditate on this subject, because it is the scriptural statements, simply somebody tells and immediately you understand. This is called Shravana, you hear them. Then you go back, you reflect, what did Swami say? And then, after a long time, you understand this. That is sadhana, spiritual practice. He gives an example. Yatha akasha sthito nityam vayu sarvatra gomahan tatha sarvani bhutani matsthani ityupadharaya. As the mighty wind, moving always everywhere, rests ever in the akasha, know thou that even so do all beings rest in me. This peculiar relationship. Where does the wind move? In the space. Akasha means space. So if there were to be no wind, then what happens to the akasha? There is no akasha. It is the container-contained relationship. If the container is not there, the contained is not there. If the contained is not there, the container also is not there. Clear? No. Hare Rama Rama. You say, I say, there is a tumbler. So, what is the tumbler meant for?
To hold something.
A milk or water or whatever. Something must be held there. Suppose there is nothing to hold it. Then do you call it still a tumbler?
No.
The moment there is nothing to hold, then the tumblership is also gone. Just to some unspecified object will remain. All right. I am the teacher now. You are the students. What am I now?
Teacher.
Why am I a teacher? Because I am teaching you. Why are you a student? Because you are being taught. Is this a relationship? Supposing all of you rush out, either physically or
mentally.
The moment you rush out, as far as even one of you, that very second, as far as you are concerned, you are not a student, and therefore I am not a teacher. See, what powerful people you are. What power you hold over me. You can make me dissolve like that. By the simple act of forgetting me. Do you understand now? The tumbler, the container, is a better word. Container is a container only so long as it contains something. The contained in something only so long as it is, there is something in which it can be contained. The moment one disappears, the other also disappears. So the moment you disappear, I disappear. The moment I disappear, you also disappear. What can be more easy than this? So what is the relationship between this universe and God? Creator, created relationship. When there is no creation, creator disappears. When the creator disappears, the creation also disappears. But it never so happens that first one disappears and then next second the other disappears. Simultaneously, both disappear at the same time. That's what the Lord is telling. What is He telling? That I am the creator, everything else is created. And whatever is created, several points He is telling. So, the first point is, I am the creator and you are the created. First point. Second point, since I am the creator, without me, you will have no independent existence. Your existence depends upon me. The third point is, I can do without you, you cannot do without me. That is the third point. But the most important point is, who are you? You are nothing but
me.
When you go into your dream state, the dream world and you, what is the relationship? That's a very good illustration. And say, suppose you are dreaming. In the dream, you imagine that you are walking in the street. You see yourself, you are aware, I am walking in the street. Then you meet something. A friend or another person, a tree, you see another tree. Let us take this simple illustration. You are there walking in the dream and you meet a friend. Right? So how many of you are there?
Two.
What are those two? You and they, your friend. Actually, there are three things there. What are three things? Your creation. Who is walking on the street in your dream? Your creation. Who is meeting?
Friend.
That friend is also
creation.
Both you and that object is created by whom? By you. At the same time, there is somebody who is standing there and witnessing, watching, because you are subjecting both of them. See, you are two then. One the witnesser, one the participator. And the other is object. See, three things are there. That's what we discussed in the morning. Atma, Jivatma, Atma and Paramatma. The embodied being and the witness self and the supreme self. This is the phenomena that goes on in both waking and dream, excepting in dreamless, deep sleep, because there is no created being, there is only pure Paramatma is there. Atma or Paramatma, whatever you call, is there. The Atma is in relation only with body and mind. If you don't have body-mind, there is both the participating self and the witnessing self, both disappear simultaneously when you are in the deep sleep. This is the simple, wonderful truth. Anyway, what is the subject now? The subject is what is the last point? Just as in your dream, who created your dream world, including you in the dream world? You, your consciousness. Therefore, what is the lesson? The creator and the created are not two separate realities, but one reality developing a relationship. That is the Advaitic viewpoint, non-dualistic viewpoint. So what is the Lord basically telling? Rajavidya, Rajaguhya. The highest science, what is that highest science? Before creation, you are one. After creation also, you are one. Because the creator and the created is both, just like the water, one water. Before the ice, it is simple water. But after the ice is flowed, then the division. This is water and this is the ice. Because if there is to be no iceberg, who is there to say that this is water? Don't imagine you are there. The water is the its own witness. Say, it can't say I am water until ice comes. When ice is formed, then it say, I am water, I am the water, the creator, and I am the ice which is created. Three. The moment the iceberg disappears, then it can't even say, I am the water. Simply it says, I am. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.